Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 project here on the Nerd Party, the only podcast that takes you to the film library of A24 films, gives you the latest news from A24, and brings you exclusive interviews with the cast and crew behind the great films. On today's show, we dive into A24's Rosemary's Baby for the IVF generation, False Positive. I'm your co-host, Dallas King, and with me as always is Lee Hutchison. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. I had to look at our episodes. I was like, we haven't reviewed any movies this year, have we? But I realised we've done a couple. So yeah, this is our third movie. It's only taken us 6 months. So we're averaging at the moment a movie every 2 months. But then we were just discussing this off air. Like, we are about to soon get Pleasure, Green Knight, and Zola. So we are about to, like, spike up. We might have, like, a bunch of movie episodes out all within the space of the next few months, which is really exciting.
I know, yeah. If you've been suffering withdrawal symptoms from our regular movie review episodes here on the A24 Project, I know, Lee, you've been doing an excellent job of keeping us tided over with interviews. But, yeah, if you're missing us diving deep into the films, basically... 6th of August is all I'm going to say, because here in the UK we're getting an A24 double bill of Zola and the Green Knight on the same day. tasty. There'll be a tasty debrief happening after that day, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. It's like, I think that's the first time we've had an opening day double bill since In Fabric and Midsummer, and that was a hell of a double feature to watch. So yeah, I'm real excited for that day.
Absolutely. Now, before we take a look at our first new A24 film, I think since Minari actually came out here in the UK, certainly, it's time to catch up on some A24-hour news. Now, as we just sort of mentioned about Zola and Green Knight and whatever, London-based A24 fans should be aware that Zola and recent A24 Sundance acquired film Pleasure will be screening at Sundance London from the 29th of July to the 2nd of August. So if you head on to the Picture House Sundance London website, you should still be able to pick up tickets for both of those new films. The other film we just mentioned there, Green Knight, there was a new primer video released on social media recently, narrated by Finchie himself, Ralph Ineson. He's narrated a Green Knight video. What have you done? Have you watched this one, Lee, or are you trying to stay spoiler-free? I know it's a tale based on a true knight story, but... You know, are you trying to go in spoiler free on this one?
Yeah, spoiler free as I can. As like, it's one of those things, like, I don't know much about the story of the Green Knight, so I'm like, I'm just gonna keep it that way for now. But I will definitely be watching that advert. Like, I was really tickled by the idea of Chris Finch doing a narration of the Green Knight. So yeah, I will definitely watch that afterwards. But for now, it's like, I've seen the trailer, I watched the second trailer. That's enough for me for now.
Absolutely. Second bit of news is that Ari Aster's Disappointment Boulevard has added a few new cast members in Nathan Lane, Patti LuPone, Amy Ryan, and Kylie Rogers. The film has been described as an intimate decade-spanning portrait of one of the most successful entrepreneurs of all time. Now, of course, this stars Joaquin Phoenix, but part of me wonders, is this going to be a musical? It's got Nathan Lane and Patti LuPone, who have both done a lot of Broadway, so I don't know, what we get? Will we get one of the first A24 musical numbers?
I've never seen anyone talk about that potentially being a musical.
I don't. It probably won't. It's just me theorizing, speculating. You know, we've got a while before it's going to come out, so you know, we need something to hold on.
Yeah, I'm completely open to that idea. Like, I wouldn't put anything past Ari Aster. He always seems to have his own unique take on certain things. So yeah, I'm open to a musical. I now will be disappointed if it isn't a musical.
And I know that Ari Aster was talking about his next film was going to be called A Nightmare Comedy. Now, this doesn't particularly sound like a nightmare comedy, so I'm wondering if he's got two films on the go, because I'm sure I read, I couldn't find it in time for this thing, but I'm sure I read an article that apparently Meryl Streep was being courted for that one. Like, if Meryl Streep signs on to an A24 film, then you know they're going to be pushing that one for the Oscars. It's been a while since we've hosted one of these episodes, so it's kind of difficult to know what news has been out since the last time we talked, because it's been so long. So I'm sure there's a few things we've missed, but if you're a fan of those sold out A24 merches, then check out the A24 website at the moment, because there's a few new things that have gone up recently. Zola has written a book, but I say a book, it's basically a compilation of the, I think, what was it, 155 tweet thread that made up the incredible true story that was has inspired the film. That has been released as a book. The Euphoria screenplays have been released as a set. A24 are doing pet collars and leads now as well. And in probably the most exciting bit of news, which means that I'm probably going to be trawling eBay from the 9th of July onwards. Apparently in Japan, they are producing a manga book based on The Lighthouse to tie in to the release of The Lighthouse in Japan. Did you see this news, Lee? Will you be trying to grab a copy if you can?
Yeah, I saw that. I probably won't be. I don't own too many comic books, but I think I said it to a friend the other day that sent the link to me, where it was like, I was like, oh my God, I'd be a bit worried. Like, what happens if someone comes into my house and discovers I've got this manga book that's got like a shark vagina picture in it? Like, you know, God knows what people will think. So, yeah.
I think that's pretty tame for some of the manga books which are out there already.
I would say the one thing that you did miss out of the merch that did tickle me in terms of how blatant it was in terms of advertising versus reality was the A24 food trays that were ridiculously small. You watched that and you were just like, they are putting some amount of stuff out just now. It's so bizarre. You know, I can't believe like there's been more like dog leads than things like that than like actual movies to talk about. It's ridiculous.
I know, it did feel like over the last month or so that they were like, they'd reached like some sort of lockdown sort of moment of insanity or something, where it just all got to them, the cabin fever too much, and they were just like really tired of something. Someone was like, A24 food trays, and they went, yeah, all right, yeah, let's pop them up and stuff like that. It's like, thankfully now that the cinemas are reopened, maybe we'll get slightly less tenuous tie-in merch. Who knows? But I'll let you know if I get up a copy of the manga and let you know how rude it is, particularly when it gets to the bit with Robert Pattinson and his steak. But we're here to talk about a new movie, which is out in the US at the moment on Hulu. Unfortunately, no confirmed date for the UK at the moment, but this movie is False Positive, directed by John Lee from a screenplay by himself and star Alana Glazer. It tells the story of a woman who has trouble conceiving, but when she meets Dr. Hindle, she quickly becomes pregnant, but then starts to suspect not everything is right with her baby or her doctor. Film stars Alana Glazer, Justin Theroux, and Pierce Brosnan. I believe this is our first Bond in the A24 universe, which is very exciting, I expect, for you. Lee, what did you make of this film on first viewing? Would you have high expectations going in or not? Because I have to admit, the trailer for it did whet my appetite by using the song Be My Baby in it. I thought that was quite a good use in it. But what did you make of it going in?
Yeah, I wasn't too sure what to expect. I was looking forward to a new A24 film. I think it's one of these ones, it's easy to kind of forget this one was coming up. We've got like Green Knight and Zola on the horizon, you know, much hyped, much awaited, you know, long overdue films, and some really interesting ones being teased. And it was always one of these things you always remember, oh yeah, there's this False Positive one. And I think I just knew it as like, I remembered watching the trailer once, we spoke about it, and I kind of forgot what the film was about. I just kind of remembered it's like, oh, it's that film with Pierce Brosnan as like the creepy doctor and a woman gets pregnant. So my expectations going in weren't like the highest in the world. It was like, oh, I'll get around to watching it like this Saturday, or, you know, I'll just crash out and watch that one like on my laptop. It didn't feel like an event to watch it. But it was okay. I think my main reaction was I sent you a text message that was like two emojis with like the eyes and no like facial expression. It was a bizarre film, and I always think of it where I was like, I think of it like the episode where it's like Itchy, Scratchy and Poochy, and like the, you know, Itchy, Scratchy and Poochy isn't working too well, and Homer goes along to like the bigwigs and goes like, you know, whenever like Poochy isn't on the screen, everyone should be asking, where's Poochy? I felt that way about Pierce Brosnan. Like, I felt the tone of the film was every time he was on it, that like this film was a bit weird, a bit creepy, slightly funny, awkward, a little bit, you know, it's it's hard to tell if this is some sort of female empowerment movie or all men are trash, but it feels like Pierce Brosnan gets that it is all men are trash, but it doesn't feel like this feminist angle is played very well. And I just was constantly like, when it wasn't with him or about him, I was kind of like, oh, where's Pierce Brosnan? Get back to him. Because I didn't find Alana Glazer's character. I thought she was really weak in terms of like script writing. She doesn't have much to go on apart from, I'm a woman, I want a child, you know, my child. You know, I think probably maybe a female scriptwriter could have helped here. Justin Theroux is someone that is incredibly charismatic, is someone that is humorous, can do drama very well, is starring in some great TV shows and films. Totally wasted here, but Pierce Brosnan is great.
Yep, no, I think Pierce Brosnan seemed to get what the film was, I think, trying to do. And I think he was the only one. I think even if you look at like Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia or something like Eurovision, it's like that that tweet meme at the moment. Pierce Brosnan understands the assignment. He knew what he was doing, and yes, I think there's a massive void whenever he's not there. I think he was fantastic in it, and there is a huge amount of potential in this one, a huge amount of potential. And unfortunately, we are recording this we didn't have time for our filibuster co-host Kim Morrison to be able to watch it, because she was keen to see this one, because it's right up her street, and I really would be interested to get her take on it in the future. But the weirdest thing is, because like you say, the lead character is very sort of thinly sketched. And it's odd because the star of it is also the co-writer. So you thought there would have been a much deeper backstory. I mean, we're basically introduced to the couple at the beginning. It's like, oh yeah, we can't get pregnant. Oh, I know a guy. And then suddenly they're pregnant. There's no real sort of understanding of how big a struggle it has been to this point for them. You know, they mentioned, oh, it's been a couple of years, but you don't really get the emotional struggle, what she's been through, and then what it means to her to suddenly be pregnant and stuff like that. And I think the problem is that, like you say, Justin Theroux's character is pretty much wasted. I mean, it's quite clear from the beginning that he's a wrong, and, you know, there's a lot to be said within this movie about the notion of a woman's future being determined by men in her job. You know, it's like the man gives her the opportunity, but, you know, she's still expected to go out for lunch and stuff like that. And even when she gets the big account, you know, the fact that she's pregnant, she gets taken off the thing. She only gets pregnant because Pierce Brosnan is a man and is able to do that for her. And even Justin Theroux's character is effectively sort of manipulating and gaslighting her at times. And that's my cat just deciding to interrupt the interview. And so it's very much, I think there could have been more done in that, in looking at basically this sort of feminist parable of how men are basically treating women and stuff like that, you know, writing off her concerns as, you know, prepartum depression and stuff like that. I think there's a lot more to be done. I think the style in which the film is done is a mistake. I think it feels like one of those sort of glossy early 90s thrillers, something like, you know, you're maybe not as erotic thrillers as Basic Instinct, but that kind of thing, or like the Julia Roberts sleeping with the enemy thing, where, you know, she leaves her abusive husband and tries to start a new life, you know, the essentially, you know, tying into the theme of, like you said, all men are bad. But it doesn't know where it wants to go. It feels like that, but then it's going into the sort of psychological horror element, but it doesn't really work. And then it tips its hand, I think, too far in the other way come the end. I think the film is like, it's too obvious that, yes, it's not all in her head. It's like, yeah, there's something up with these guys. But I think it could have done more in looking at the ambiguousness of it, of is she mad or is she not? I think it tips its hand way too early for me, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It just, yeah, it doesn't seem to kind of work. And you know, I think like it's been impossible to get away from the connections between Rosemary's Baby. I mean, I've not seen that film in a long, long time. I mean, it's not even subtle about some of the connections. If I'm correct, the husband in the film is the name of like the kid in Rosemary's Baby. And it's one of those ones, like, if you're going to like remake a classic film, you know, do something new, something original, unique, this does nothing. I think of something that did it much better, and something like Darren Aronofsky's Mother, which seemed like a better kind of modern retelling or sort of inspiration. But yeah, like, the film, just the payoff isn't great. You know, if I can slightly go into a spoiler,
we'll just put a big spoiler warning. We know the film is only just out and not out in the US, but spoiler warning, we will go into the third act of the film. So if you haven't seen it yet, press pause, go away, watch film and come back. Okay, we're good.
Thinking of James Bond, I couldn't help but think of a line in Skyfall where Raoul is like, he's this bisexual, sexually ambiguous guy, and he's like, you know, teasing Mr. Bond and like, what could he do and all that sort of stuff. And he implies that he is going to blow James Bond, and you know, what would you do about that? And he was like, and James Bond just coolly replies, what would make you think that was my first time? Well, I think it's safe to say from this film, like, the most memorable scene is Pierce Brosnan being blown by Justin Theroux as Lana Glazer's character watches in from the cupboard. Like, that is pretty mental and surreal, but it's just one of those things, like, this idea, we've seen it with some really good films where it's like, you know, you think something like Carrie, for example, it's all about building to that feminist rage and anger and bloodshed. With this, like, that really lands badly. You know, like, she's wanting her revenge on these men that have screwed her over, and it's kind of like, oh, it doesn't pack any kind of punch whatsoever. I think at most, when she sort of gives the kids to Justin Theroux's Adrian and stuff like that, it's like, oh yeah, those kids are going to be slightly annoying, he's going to struggle a little bit, and like, oh, she's really kicked their asses as well at the hospital, but nothing just kind of builds to anything. It's just kind of like, oh, that was a bit silly. Like, you know, what was the whole point of it all?
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, you know, I mean, that particular image of what you were talking about earlier was quite something. I think it has to be said, whether it did happen or not, was it in her head or not? Who knows? But, yeah, no, I think when it gets to the third act and she finally takes her revenge and the plot is revealed, I think the plot itself of what was going on was underwhelming, I think it's fair to say. So yeah, the reveal of the plot and what's actually happening to her and her baby, I think it was slightly underwhelming for me. And it was like, oh, is that it? You know, given the riffs on Rosemary's Baby and something like that, you were maybe expecting something slightly more occulty or supernatural, and it was just a bit like, oh right, okay. And then it's like, once she gets back to her apartment, she deals out some physical violence, and there's that terrible sort of gag about I've got a gag reflex after she tries to stick a rectal thermometer or something down a nurse's throat, and then she pulls it out, and it's just like, oh right, okay. Yeah, we never really get a sense of the comeuppance of Dr. Hindle, which I would have liked to have seen. You know, they're quite good at, you know, not giving us enough information at some bits, but that I think I would have liked to have seen a bit more blatant, you know, for that. And then the end with, like, you know, it's like, did she throw her babies out the window? They're all floating away. And then it's like, oh no, she's not. And then that, it certainly does leave you on a hell of an image of a unborn baby suckling on the teat of its mother. It's just like, wow, okay. I mean, that was getting into slight sort of, you know, Suspiria remake vibes towards the end. So I mean, it certainly is going to leave people with a hell of an image, and people will be talking about it at the end. I just think the 90 odd minutes leading up to that were just very meh. You know, it's just, it doesn't equate with the final image. I think, yeah, there's just such a disconnect between the film and like the final couple of minutes that yeah, it just, it didn't gel, and it just ultimately it didn't really land for me as like you say, a Riff on Rosemary's Baby, or a thriller, or a horror, or even a sort of a take on men, and aren't they all shits, and they really should do more supporting women during the pregnancy.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, like, it was the breastfeeding shot that made me send that text message where I was like, you know, oh yeah, I've kind of seen this sort of payoff before. Okay, okay. And then that happened, you're like,
okay, I haven't seen that.
Like, I've, and you just sort of like, that's the moment where you, I can't remember, there was a film I recently watched where I was like, you kind of wish there was people around you where you're not socially distanced, where you could just like look around and go, what the hell were they like smoking when they came up with that scene? Like, you know, the floating babies, okay, that's a bit odd. Okay, oh, that's a bit odd. Oh, okay, fair enough. Huh. It was just, it was certainly one of those iconic shots where you think of probably like the two different ends of it, where you have something like St. Maud. Jesus, what a shocking ending. And, you know, you're stunned in your seat. And then you have a scene like this where you're like, oh, that's a final shot. Okay, if this is what the payoff is, then okay. Yeah, it's one of those ones. It's good to have a film to review, but I'm a bit more excited about what's to come.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it was certainly, yeah, it's one of those ones which I think I would have appreciated seeing it in a cinema. I think you're right, just to get that sort of reaction and being able to talk about it with people on the way out of the cinema. I mean, maybe it says something about the film and the fact that A24 decided to punt it off to Hulu for a home release rather than a cinematic release. I guess maybe they know that they've got a lot of stronger content coming up over the next few months, so I guess we'll have to see. But you know, like I say, we've got great stuff coming up. I know we've got a couple of interviews coming up, but if for, you know, we've had a few over the last few weeks as well. So Lee, do you want to tee up what people will be able to listen to next week, and also maybe pick a couple of highlights from a couple of the interviews we've had over the last couple of months?
Yeah, next week we've got, well, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have Ryan Lee, who plays King Lou from First Cow. It was amazing to spend about 70 minutes just chatting about making First Cow with him. He is as nice as you expect. You have certain preconceptions about some people. You're like, I wonder what they're going to be like. I hope they're as nice as they're kind of, you know, they seem. He was so lovely, and some of the insights he had about the making of the First Cow. I think I think I mentioned it to you. Like, it's the first time I've ever heard someone talk about Shrek in relation to First Cow. So I'm sure that will be an interesting hive mind. But you know, I think of one of my favorite guests that we recently had on was Esther Moon, who talked about Minari. You know, she plays Mrs. O in the film, a bit of a small role, but you know, certainly one that left a bit of an impact on me. And her interview, you know, talking about her experience as a Korean American, the film's success, you know, talking about kind of culture and the role this film plays was really stunning. And you know, anyone that's listened to her, you know, she was so open and honest and got very emotional, and it was a real privilege to chat with her. So we've got a few more kind of Minari and First Cow interviews we're going to look out to have in the kind of coming weeks and months, so things to stay tuned for anyway.
Absolutely. So yeah, we've got Ryan Lee in a couple of weeks, but we will be back in August, early August, to review Zola, and that I think that episode is going to be quite long, but a hell of a ride. So yeah, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.